I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about proof that Islam, that political Islam, is a danger to the preaching of the gospel in the Western world. In particular, we would say political Islam, Dr. Bill Warner's term, which I completely agree with. He's absolutely right. The real danger is political Islam. It is not just individual acts of terrorism, which, yes, those are a concern, and certainly our government should do everything that it can to prevent things like that from happening. But the greater danger is political Islam. The slow, steady, one step at a time advance at a political level of Islam itself. And this is, you know, this is an issue that I talked about when all of this interfaith controversy came up with Worldview Weekend and James White and his meeting with Yasser Qadhi. And here we're going to talk about stories today, not necessarily related to that, but that effectively show the danger of giving Islam a place of equality in America and the Western world. And what we mean specifically now is not equal rights for Muslims as individuals. In other words, that their life, their liberty, and their property will be protected as any other citizen. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Islam as a belief system and giving it the same protections that Christianity had in this country from the beginning. And actually, what's happening now, Islam is not receiving equal protection. It's actually receiving far greater protection at a variety of levels. And it's happening in the UK. It's happening in Canada. And it's happening here in the United States as well. But we're going to talk, well, there's a number of things we're going to go over. Let's talk, first of all, about the original understanding of protection in terms of a protected belief system. You have right now the judicial activists. They have developed all of these protected classes. For example, the homosexuals are called a protected class. They focus on these minority groups and they call them protected classes. And what it really means is that they are supposed to have special rights or special protections. This is what allows the gays to go and sue Christian business owners because they won't make the gay wedding cakes because the gays are said to be a protected class. Well, all of this, we have to understand, brethren, all of this is post-World War II, post-1960s, judicial, activist, communist nonsense is what it is. But it's very, very dangerous because it's getting worse and worse every day. Now, I continue to believe, brethren, that we need the Bible back in our schools. I believe, honestly, that the powers of government must declare that Christianity is the parent faith of the United States and that everything else has got to live in submission to a Christian understanding of our Constitution. Why? Because that is exactly what American freedom was based upon. You give freedom to moral people. You don't give freedom to immoral people. This is the great danger of bringing in all of these Muslims into Western countries and then giving them the same rights and freedoms and even giving them greater rights and freedoms and this kind of thing. You're talking about a culture of people whose worldview is based on criminal behavior, and you're going to give them the same freedom that Christian people have. That's not really what our founders intended. It's not what they intended. And we're really talking mainly about Islam, the belief system of Islam, the belief system. Now, This is, we're going to read a quote here from Chief Justice James Kent in the People versus Ruggles, 1811. James Kent, well, he will just briefly, this is from William Federer's American Minute with Bill Federer. And Kent, it says, James Kent was appointed Chief Justice of the New York Supreme Court by New York Governor John Jay in 1804. At that time in early U.S. history, the New York Supreme Court was more influential than the United States Supreme Court. Probably, assuming that's the case, it was probably the case because the New York Supreme Court had been there a lot longer. The U.S. Supreme Court was only formed after the American Revolution. That would be my guess. Okay. And this whole article here, which is a great article on Chief Justice James Kent, he's really confronting public blasphemy against Christianity. Public blasphemy against Christianity, which he openly condemns. And he basically says that because Christianity is the religion of America, that it undermines our entire system. That's, and I'm paraphrasing what he says, but he basically, that's what he says. But he talks about religious freedom in contrast to the abuse of that freedom where the Christian faith is concerned, in contrast to non-Christian religions. Here's what he said at one point. He said, quote, "The free, equal, and undisturbed enjoyment of religious opinion is granted, but to revile with malicious and blasphemous contempt the religion professed by almost the whole community is an abuse of that right. Nor are we bound to punish indiscriminately the like attacks upon the religion of Muhammad or of the Grand Lama for this plain reason that we are a Christian people, and the morality of the country is deeply engrafted upon Christianity and not upon the doctrines or worship of those imposters," end quote. Chief Justice Kent, okay? And Kent, you know, Kent County, Michigan is named for Justice Kent. Kent County, what is it, Chicago's Kent College of Law, Columbia Law School's Kent Hall, Chancellor Kent Professorship at Columbia Law School, the Kent Professorship at Yale Law School. So Kent, it continues to be a very prominent figure, even to this day, in the circles of American law, and I mean at the highest levels of teaching and practicing law, Justice Kent continues to be remembered. So bear in mind, he's not some sideline character from history who just made this arbitrary opinion. He understood the original meaning of our Constitution and what the full context of it was supposed to be. Remember, the People versus Ruggles, this is 1811. So the Revolutionary War, 1776, the Constitution, 1785. I mean, this is within the first half century of the founding era of our country. You also had Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story from that era, who had been appointed by James Madison, who's called the father of the Constitution, Madison, who wrote the First Amendment. Story, if you go and read Story's writings on the First Amendment, he makes it very, very clear that the purpose of the First Amendment was not and is not to make Christianity equal to pagan religions. And he specifically names Mohammedism, okay, as an example. But that the purpose of the First Amendment is not to level all religions or to make Christianity equal to all other religions, and certainly not equal to Islam. So giving equal protections or greater protections to Islam as a belief system is entirely unconstitutional. It is not the original purpose of American constitutional law. And that, I honestly believe, brethren, has got to be reclaimed if we're going to rescue our country from the clutches of socialism and Sharia law. Now, exactly what is in store for our country, I continue to wonder. I continue to prayerfully consider. because Bible prophecy plays a role in all of this, as we all know. I think all believers would agree. It really depends on what the prophetic forecast is, but this is where understanding prophecy becomes very important, because depending on what understanding of prophecy you have, that often determines what actions a person believes Christians should take. It's like the sons of Issachar. They knew the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. That's the question, brethren. It's why I spend so much time studying prophecy and talking about it. All right, but anyway, we could talk about that for hours. What I want to get to is the central theme of our program, which is Islam as a danger to the preaching of the gospel in the Western world. Now, there is a story here published on Jihad Watch about a woman over in the UK. I remember reading about this woman some time ago. And the headline says this: UK Christian woman prosecuted for talking about Christianity to a Muslim colleague. The article says, quote, a Christian therapist in England who was suspended after being accused of evangelizing to a Muslim colleague has suffered another loss in court. And this is just an incredible story. Here you have a Christian woman who works in the medical field. And according to the story here on Jihad Watch, she was working with a woman who was a Muslim. And apparently they had a friendly relationship. She had no reason, based upon her testimony, to believe otherwise. And apparently the woman was undergoing certain difficulties and that kind of thing. And so this Christian lady befriended her, actually prayed for her at one point, gave her a book from a former Muslim who became a Christian, gave her that book, and invited her to go to church with her. Prayed for her, gave her a book, and invited her to go to church. No hostile dialogue, rhetoric, activity, nothing like that. I mean, this is the kind of scene that happens in America every day somewhere. There's a Christian who's witnessing to somebody who's not a Christian, talking to them, inviting them to church, giving them materials, encouraging them to seek the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. In this case, what happened was the Muslim woman then filed a complaint against this Christian woman. All right, here, let me read some of this article here. It says, quote, Victoria Wastany, a Christian woman in court for imparting messages about her faith's love and healing to a Muslim colleague with whom she developed a relationship, or so she thought. While there are rules against proselytizing in places of employment, Wastany was discussing her faith to a colleague, not to a client. Then it says the headline in Christian Post, Christian hospital worker punished for sharing faith loses again in court. Apparently she lost the first case. They filed an appeal. Now she's lost again. All right, let me read a little bit more of this. It says, as has been reported, Nawaz is the Muslim woman, Nawaz and Wastany, a born-again Christian, developed a relationship while working at the St. John Howard Center in East London. Here it says St. John online. I can only find a John Howard Center, not St. John. So it goes on. It says, Nawaz's complaint accused Wastany of trying to convert her to Christianity. Trying to convert her to Christianity. Now in a historically Christian country, in the land of William Tyndale, we are being told that it is a crime to try and lead somebody to put their faith in Christ. This is what happens when you allow Karl Marx and Muhammad into your country. That's what happens. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today: the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the danger of political Islam to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Western world. We've been talking on the program about Victoria Wastany, the former head of forensic occupational therapy at a hospital in London, who was issued a 9-month suspension by East London National Health Service in 2014 after an 8-page complaint was filed against her by a Muslim colleague named Enya Nawaz. Now, according to this account here on Jihad Watch, the legal battle continues over this issue. And so we should be in prayer for Victoria Wastany, because this is a very important issue, brethren. This is an assault on the very foundation of Western civilization, which is not just Christianity, but the preaching of the gospel and freedom of speech. That's the foundation of the free world. Because remember, during the Inquisition, you could not preach the gospel. And many people don't realize that. Many Christians don't realize that the Inquisition outlawed the Bible and the preaching of the gospel. And if you know history, then you know that the same powers that were behind the Inquisition are currently the powers that are running the European Union. That would be my assessment of it. And there's a lot of evidence of that historically. So now you have Rome and Islam, essentially the two ancient enemies of the gospel, at work undermining the freedom of the Western world. And it's why, this is why this whole issue of interfaith and trying to bring Islam in, you know, and believing the lies and the taqiyya to try and get their foot in the door here in the United States and gain political advantage, etc., why that is so dangerous, brethren. And no Christian minister who really cares about the gospel of Christ should do anything or take part in anything that's going to advance Islam politically in our country. All right. Now, we talked about what's happening there in the UK. Well, one more story on this. I wanted to cover this because I think it's important. In the UK, this is another Jihad Watch article. The headline says, "Leaving a bacon sandwich outside a mosque is worse than sexually abusing an 11-year-old girl." And they show the contrast, two stories. One, a man, a non-Muslim, named Kevin Crehan, 35, was jailed. He got a 12-month sentence for leaving a bacon sandwich outside a mosque and he was found dead in prison halfway through his 12-month sentence. In contrast, another story about an Islamic teacher says Islamic teacher who sexually abused girl 11 as he taught her the Quran spared jail because his wife doesn't speak English. And just if you read the rest of that, it's apparently the logic there from the judge was it says that he was handed a suspended sentence after judge told family rely on him. In other words, the judge was told that the family relies on him. So apparently that had to do with it. So here you have a contrast. You have a UK citizen who was given a 12-month sentence because he left a bacon sandwich outside a mosque, and that was called a hate crime, so they give him a year in jail. Then you have a Muslim who molests an 11-year-old girl, and they choose not to send him to jail. Now, both of those stories happened over in the UK. Both of those stories happened over in the UK, just so we understand. Now, here in America, here in the United States, you can find this story. This is just incredible. New Jersey residents, this is the headline. This is the headline on Creeping Sharia. Creeping Sharia, which is a website kind of like Jihad Watch or The Religion of Peace or Pamela Geller. There's a number of these websites that document the progress of Islam and the activities of Islam in the Western world. And Creeping Sharia is one of them. The headline says, quote, New Jersey residents can't mention Islam or Muslim at public hearing on mosque. Can't mention, can't say Islam, and you can't mention Muslims. That is covert Sharia. That's what that is, covert Sharia. Because the foundation of Sharia law is that Islam is the most protected religion. You cannot insult the religion of Islam. If you do, then you're to be punished under Sharia. Now, this is an incredible story, and this is, I'll just read it. It's just unbelievable. It says, quote, in a settlement agreement, which reads more like an instrument of surrender, Bernards Township, New Jersey officials agreed that in addition to a $3.5 million payment to the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge, residents and citizens of the township are prohibited from commenting on Islam or Muslims at the upcoming public hearing to approve the settlement. Okay, now this is what happened. You had some Muslims that wanted to build a mosque in a certain part of New Jersey. You had citizens, American citizens, who did not want the mosque to be built there. They were trying to block the building of the mosque. At the end of a legal battle, it was determined that the Muslims needed to be paid $3.5 million by the New Jersey township. Okay? $3.5 million. It reminds me of the payout, the $10 million payout that Canada has just given to the jihadi up there. But undoubtedly, the most shocking story is the story of a girl over in the UK who was put into a meat grinder. She was killed, put into a meat grinder. The Muslims who did it got off on a technicality, and they were paid £250,000 in compensation. Got off on a and apparently they admitted that they did this. But then there was some technicality that came up, and they were released. And then they were given £250,000, which is over $300,000 U.S., in compensation. These kind of horrific stories show that the leadership of the Western world has gone completely mad and has just become infiltrated with people who are purely evil, who are perhaps among the most evil people ever, who ever lived anywhere. I mean, but of course, this is what the Bible tells us, brethren, that as time passes, evildoers and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there is, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable that these things are happening. But please don't take my word for it, especially that last story, which when I first heard it, I was in such shock. I just couldn't believe that this could happen anywhere. But go and research the story of Charlene Downs, her disappearance and so on. And then especially go and watch the interview between Alex Jones and Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson is a political activist in the UK who has been fighting against the Islamic infiltration there in England and the rest of the United Kingdom. And he is one of many British, who are trying to stand in the gap and push back against the socialist EU, European Union subversion and ultimate overthrow of the United Kingdom and really all of Western Europe, all of the Western world, if they could get away with it. But people have to speak out. We have to, and I honestly believe, as admirable as a lot of these political activist groups are, I honestly believe that without God's help, all of that activism is going to amount to nothing. Because God says that if we fear the Lord, and he says you shall not fear other gods. That's the problem here, is allowing these pagan gods to be brought in and violate the first commandment. For God says, I am the Lord thy God, ye shall have no other gods before me. That's what we've got to restore in our country, brethren. That's what I believe must be restored in the Western world. And God's promise is, if you fear the Lord, then he will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies. And I believe that promise. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. We are out of time. We'll stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.